Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. This is Gary Zimek. Great to be with you here on this Monday. I'm coming to you live from Fargo, North Dakota, and I'm so thrilled that we can start off the week together. Let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to a new day. We ask you to be with us, to guide us, to remind us that you are always with us, even when we forget about you. Help us to grow closer to you this day, and help us to love one another as you love us. Father, we present to you our problems, our needs, our concerns. We give them to you this morning, and I specifically ask you to speak through us. So on the radio program today, may our words echo your message for all of us. And please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to that message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, amen. We have lots to talk about on the show today. Coming up later on will be author and speaker Mary Lou Rosine. She has written a book called The Joy-Filled Broken Heart. Really interesting topic, something that doesn't sound possible, but Mary Lou's going to talk about that. Also, evangelist, speaker, retreat leader Brian Mercier will be here to talk about those times when we pray and just don't feel the Lord at all. How do we handle that? Well, I was going to say by my side, but you're not by my side, Dave Parker.
Only,
what's wrong?
Only over the radio waves. good morning. How are you?
Boy, I'll tell you what. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, Gare. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's early here. I'm an hour earlier in Fargo in a hotel room, trying not to be too loud because I've already done the show and people have heard me through the walls. But we picked up a listener when that happened, so what can I say?
Were they knocking on pounding on the walls?
Hey, I told you that. Say we have to get some energy to you.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, Frank, I was going to say, good morning, by the way, Frank.
Good morning.
When that happened, I think we talked about this over the air. We got a listener because of that. Some guy heard me. I was in Massachusetts. He heard me through the walls, and he sent an email saying, "I like your show. I'm going to start listening." So the Lord works in mysterious ways. Gentlemen.
How much did we pay that day, Frank, for that guy?
Exactly.
No. How about those Eagles, boys?
Oh, boy.
How about those Cowboys?
Yay.
Cowboys.
That was a great ending to a game.
It was. It was wonderful game.
I missed the ending to the game.
Oh, the Cowboys lost.
They lost.
So you have a
good big
win by the Eagles.
Yes.
Then you have the Cowboys who take the lead with a minute 13 to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, give the ball to Rodgers.
Right? Yes.
And
keep going.
Touchdown pass.
Wow.
You know, done.
Yes. He got it done. He got it done. And he is so incredible.
So you have, what, the Giants are what, 0-5?
Yes.
Isn't that a shame?
I'm so saddened.
You should say
the Cowboys are 2-3.
Tissue, Frank. Yeah. Tissue.
And the Eagles are, come on, what are the Eagles?
We are 4-1.
That is correct. This is why I'm wearing my Wentz jersey.
Let's talk about that for a minute. The division-leading Eagles, because here's what's cool. I am in Fargo, North Dakota right now. This is Carson Wentz territory.
Yes.
They love him here, and everybody here is an Eagles fan. It's amazing. At my parish mission last night, I talked about him, and I got applause. And they love the guy here because he's from Bismarck, North Dakota, which is close.
His mayor was at the stadium yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Very interesting. But Carson went to college right here in Fargo at North Dakota State, so he is very popular. And the cool thing is, the Eagles are on the radio here, they're on TV, there's no problem finding the Eagles. I met so many people who said, I am now an Eagles fan, so we have Eagles fans out here in Fargo.
All right, well, great. Send some cheesesteaks out, all right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's next.
They have to be properly assimilated.
Yes, and shipped. All right, well, Gare, how did it go?
It went well. We had a packed house last night, praise God. It was unbelievable. We had a packed house. People are anxious to learn how to experience peace because that's the message of my mission with the help of Jesus. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people filled the church last night.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking, Frank, Dave, people are looking for hope. They're looking for peace in this world. Mm-hmm. Christ, he's the answer.
Yes, he is. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
That's right. Okay. It was
the one constant.
The one constant.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? Because everything else changes. And we're looking for something or someone stable, and that's the answer. So it was a great night last night. Here's what's interesting, too. The weather is great here in Fargo. It's going to be up in the 60s today, low 60s. They're known for having very, very cold weather here. So I said to somebody last night, I said, well, okay, it's cold. How cold does it get here? Right?
It's so cold.
And they said, yeah, but they said 20 or 30 below zero is not out of the question. I said,
that
how
is
do you
so
deal
true.
With it? Right?
Yes.
I said, how do you deal with it? They said, we don't go out. We stay in.
Exactly. really?
I mean, that's a simple answer, but
it
they
is.
Said... Right, but 20 or 30 below zero.
No, I with the Army. I don't know if you remember, I was stationed not too far away over in the Twin Cities area.
They
don't go out. I didn't go out, and from where my headquarters was, not mine, but the one I worked at. Okay, basically, the old timers, the indigenous folk up there, they would run cabling from inside the plugged into the wall, outside through the. Through the window out to their car, and people always tried to get the front spaces, and they would have a car warmer, engine warmer.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you were not so lucky to be in the first row and didn't have an engine, I mean, then you have to truck out and start your car, every hour or two. It was brutal.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that is brutal. Makes me happy to read the weather forecast for the Philadelphia area. How about if we do that now? Today, currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 74 degrees. Today, we will have showers and thunderstorms before noon.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, a high near 81. And then there'll be scattered showers throughout the day. Some rain tonight. Slight chance of showers before 2 a.m., low around 67. And Tuesday, mostly sunny. That sounds good, with a high near 85.
Wow.
Pretty tough day today weather-wise, especially if you're someone who's affected by the rain.
And it's very
humid. We have that sun coming tomorrow.
Soupy air. Yeah.
That's what my wife was telling me yesterday. Yeah. She said it was incredibly humid and sticky.
It's the remnants of Nate. Or Nate's going to be rolling in over us in the next couple hours and going to dump three, four inches of rain on and off over the region, so... So we have to be ready.
Right.
But it has been dry for a month at least here. So we need the rain.
We sure do. So, all right, we got a big day coming up tomorrow, October the 10th. That date mean anything to anybody?
Frank, how about you?
It's my anniversary with my wife.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that very interesting.
Is that why we kicked it?
Yeah.
There's something coming up in my memory here.
I acknowledged the right thing now, didn't
I? Yes, you did. Yeah, brother.
You're a smart man, Mr. Eliason.
You will live another day.
Did not realize that.
Good morning, Carolyn.
Dave Parker, did that date mean anything to you?
Yes. It's our... The one-year anniversary of Spirit in the Morning.
One year together.
Right. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Unbelievable. I remember driving into the station on Columbus Day last year thinking, I hope this works.
Yeah, really.
And
what
year
have we
gotten
ourselves into? What are we doing?
And 1 year later, I sit here before every show and I think, I hope this works.
Really. Especially when you're remote, right?
Dave, sometimes I'm remote even though I'm in the Doylestown studios.
Wow. I was about to go there. So
I know you were, Frank. That's why I saved you the trouble.
Hey, Garrett, let me ask you this. Okay, now,
yo.
I mean, back to the animal theme from last week, that we wove in through a couple days.
One thing I like about you, Dave Parker, you shift gears and you move on so nicely.
Really? Why dwell on that? But what are the North Dakota deer like, or moose?
Have not seen any. I have not seen any yet.
Oh, okay.
I think I saw a bison, but I didn't see any deer. I'll keep looking.
All right.
Are we going to get
I'll
back
let you
to
know.
Our moose
song? Yeah, really. Aren't you glad you brought that up, Dave?
that was deliberate, Carolyn. Morris. No, anyway, so.
Yes, but no, I will keep you posted of the wildlife. I will be here through Wednesday. I'll be leaving Wednesday to come back home after the show. So if I see any animals, I'll let you know.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Is that good?
Yeah. Well, you're kind of a wild animal sometimes, I heard. No, just kidding.
Let's reel in now, and how about if I read the gospel is a little bit longer today. I want to read the gospel to make sure we get that in. Today we go to Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. I think this is a good one because we talk about this theme a lot on the program, and I think it's important to reflect on this. Luke 10, 25 through 37. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" The man said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, the man said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side too. But when a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was so moved with compassion at his sight, he approached a victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You know, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we have a man coming up to Jesus saying, "What do I need to do to get to heaven?" And Jesus tells him, "Treat other people with mercy, with love." Man, guys, that's a tough message and one that's needed in the world today.
Very, very much so.
We're filled with judgment on others as opposed to how do I bring love and mercy to them. That's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. More than just going to church on Sunday. You got to do that, but you also have to be nice to those around you. When we come back, Brian Mercier is going to talk with us about why we believe in God and what to do when we don't feel his presence. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 9th. Today we celebrate Saint Denis and Companions. We know little about today's saint other than he was born in Italy, he was the principal patron of France, and he was the first bishop of Paris. Beyond that, the facts are unclear. The best hypothesis is that around the year 250, Denis and several other missionaries were sent by the Pope to evangelize Gaul, which includes modern-day France. They were so successful that they were ultimately arrested, imprisoned, and beheaded. This occurred during the persecution of the Roman Emperor Valerius, who in 258 ordered all bishops, priests, and deacons to be executed immediately. The bodies of Denis and his fellow church leaders were thrown into the river, but later recovered. A chapel was eventually built over their graves that, centuries later, became known as the Abbey of Saint Denis. Many French kings are buried there. What are we to make of this mixture of fact and legend about Saint Denis? We can only conclude that the deep impression this saint made on the people of his day must have resulted from a life of unusual holiness, so much so that the church has never forgotten him. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
After a season of nightfalls and pushbacks, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game, set, match, oh, 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 here comes a comeback. Just cause you laid low, got up slow, unsteady, don't mean you blacked out, oh, but now you're ready. Just when they think there's nothing left, running on empty, oh, 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 here comes a comeback.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Danny Gokey. The name of the song is The Comeback. Right now it's 7:18. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to have you with us on this dreary Monday, but we're going to get things uplifted for you. My next guest is the author of the book, Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers. Brian Mercier is National Catholic Speaker. He's a retreat leader. He's an author. You can find him online at CatholicBrian.org, and that's B-R-Y-A-N. He's somebody you need to bring to speak at your church, to your youth group, to your parish. He's a good guy, and he's going to be here to share some thoughts on praying when it's difficult. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, by the way, brother, I want to thank you for your prayers last night. I'm leading this parish mission out in North Dakota, and Brian, I turned to you and I asked for some prayers. You prayed for me. We had a fantastic mission last night. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that.
You know, Brian, I want to just depart from the script a little bit today. We've been talking about the book, Why Do You Believe in God? One of the common themes in this book, one of the questions, the challenges that you often get is, I don't believe God is real. And some even go as far as to say, I don't believe Jesus is real. And I mean, in order to do that, you've got to deny a lot of historical evidence to say that I don't believe Jesus is real. But Brian, here's the deal. I want to talk today about you and I. People hear us. We travel around. We share the good news. We do this for a living. People might think, well, these guys, they are always in contact with the Lord. They're feeling it. They never have a dry spell in their lives. What would you say to that, Brian?
I would say two words. I wish.
Yes. Right? No, I mean, we're challenged the same way anybody else is challenged. And Brian, there are times when I'm praying and I don't feel the Lord's presence at all. Does that ever happen to you?
Absolutely. And I can say that this has been the reality for the last 2 years of my life. Like,
wow.
God has tested me over the last 2 years and tried me, and I think he's preparing me more for ministry and such. But it's been two of the hardest years, up until about 6 months ago, two of the hardest years of my entire life. And I've walked with God. I've probably felt things that most people don't feel things. I've enjoyed a very close, personal relationship with God. So when that's taken away, it's really difficult, and natural things creep into your mind. Does God love me? Did I do something wrong? What do I need to do to get it back? And you struggle with all of this. I've experienced it for the last 2 years, and I've lived it, and I've had to find ways to continue to pray to God and keep that relationship even through the difficult, dry, and dark times.
And let's talk about that a little, because I'm sure somebody listening is going through the same thing right now. It's one thing to say that there is plenty of evidence that Jesus Christ existed, that he is real. I mean, very few of us are going to deny that. But, you know, you could look at the life of somebody like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, and we could say, yeah, there's evidence those guys exist. I'm not going to deny that either. But here's the challenge, I think. We're not called to have a personal relationship with George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, so we aren't challenged to go on even when we don't feel their presence. On the other hand, we're called to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Brian, what do we do when we just don't feel like he's answering us or that he hears? I'm not saying he's not hearing, that he's not answering, but there are going to be times we don't feel like it. How can I move forward when all I hear on the other end is silence?
Or static.
Or static, yeah. Yeah.
I have a bunch of different reasons, which we can go through over the next few minutes. But number one, the thing you have to do is you have to keep your same prayer routine. It's really important during these dry times that you don't cut corners and that you don't shorten the prayer times. Because that's what our temptation is to do, is because we're not feeling it and we're really not in the mood, it doesn't matter. You have to keep the same. If you pray for an hour every morning, you keep the hour, no matter how dry and how difficult it is. And one thing that helped me through the dark times was changing it up, not keeping the same routine, because that's really hard. Like, for example, if you're having the most excruciating time trying to pray the rosary and you just can't do it and you keep forcing yourself and it makes you not even want to pray, well, then change it up. Maybe try reading the Bible, you know, until something strikes you, and meditating on it. Or maybe get a good spiritual book that can give you some guidance and stop every time something strikes you and think about it. Or maybe put on some praise and worship music and get outside yourself and start praising God. I also tried to make whole sessions of just thanking God for everything he's done for me in my life and remembering all the great things. And kind of like David says in the Psalms, you know, Lord, I recount all your works. I recount all of your ways. And I remembered all the times that God's worked in my life, and I've thanked him for each and everything that I have in my life. So number one, don't shorten the prayer times. Number two, change it up. You know, try to pray in different ways, and sometimes that actually helps to get rid of the dryness and the deadness. Number three, remember that everything God's done for you. Praise him and thank him. And that's kind of hard sometimes, but if you can do that, then it's a whole paradigm shift. It's a mind transfer. You're actually taking it from, it's all about me and I need to feel something, to God's done so much for me and I want to thank him.
Yeah, Brian, that's a great point, because sometimes it does become all about me. I don't feel good when I pray, therefore I'm not going to pray, right? But, you know, we could ask ourselves at that point the question, well, am I praying to feel good, or am I praying because I love God and want to have a relationship with him?
Well, exactly. And that's exactly what St. Therese said. And this is one quote that I love. She's like, you know, it's easy to follow Jesus on rose-petaled paths, you know, when the flowers are out and the sun is shining and it's easy. But when God takes that all away from you, are you still going to love him in the same way? He loved you so much, even when he didn't feel like it. He loved you to the point of the cross. He didn't feel like going to the cross for us.
Right.
But he did it out of love for us. And so we might not feel like praying. We might not feel like he's always there. But it's our chance to show him how much we love him and to keep giving to him, even when we don't feel like it. And in fact, that's probably the greatest kind of prayer. That's going to grow our relationship with him and grow our status in heaven, our merit for heaven. So it's really a test of faith. You know, God's testing our faith during those times. And how are we going to rise up to that? How are we going to pass the test?
Yeah, let's talk about the potential benefits of that. Obviously, God, as you said, he is testing us because he could give us the consolations if he wanted to. But is there a potential benefit from muscling through and praying even when we don't feel like it, even when we're hearing nothing or just hearing static? Is there a benefit from this?
There's a lot of benefits. Number one, as I stated, I'll just restate, it's how we show God that we love him.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's easy when I love my wife to give to her, but do I still give to her when I don't feel like it and when she doesn't deserve it? Or does she give to me when I don't deserve it?
Right.
You know,
right.
The same thing is we give when we don't feel like it. So that's a huge benefit. Number two, it creates discipline. It creates that necessary discipline that we need, not only in the spiritual life, but in the regular life, because it's so easy to stop when things get tough. But
yes.
It's the tough
yes.
that leads to success. It's the tough that leads us to heaven. Tough is where the saints are, you know, because
wow.
they went through the difficult times, and we need to, too. If we want to become saints, I mean, Christ is training us for the ultimate military ever, you know,
mm-hmm.
the heavenly host, and we're going to wipe out evil someday, and we need to be prepared. And it really strengthens us. When we come out of this time, we are so much strengthened, and we've learned so many lessons, and we've seen so many things, and God's caused us to grow in ways that we could never, I mean, over the last 2 years, I have grown in ways that I could never have grown in 10 lifetimes. God has shown me and taught me and led me to places that I never would have gone if I didn't go to those depths. He's
wow.
helped me to see things I never would have seen. So one prayer I recommend to you and to any of your listeners is this. It's a great prayer. It's so simple, and it says, Jesus, help me to see the things that I cannot see right now in my life. Help me to see those things that you want me to see, and help me to learn those lessons that you're trying to teach me. It's that simple. Lord,
wow.
help me to learn the lessons that you're trying to teach me. And it's amazing how much he'll open your eyes in these dark times and show you when he's ready.
Amen. Wow. Brother, thank you so much for sharing that, because I know somebody needed to hear that today. Keep on praying. Keep on talking to the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. Because remember that he is working on his end, too. A lot of times we don't think that. It's not just us. He's working. And ultimately, as Brian said, you're going to end up in a better place. Your faith will grow stronger. Hey, Brian, we have about a minute left only in the segment. I want to give you a chance to let our listeners know about your services and how they could bring you out to the their parish, and also about your book, Why Do You Believe in God?
Thank you. Yes, I am a confirmation retreat speaker. I do parish missions. I do TV and radio. I do a whole lot, and if people can find me on my website, it's CatholicBrian, BRYAN.org, and I'm also an author. I am actually writing a prayer book right now on spirituality
Ooh, nice.
And how to come close to God. But my current book is Why Do You Believe in God? And that can be found on my website or on Amazon.
Brian, you are a great blessing, I'll tell you. I'm so glad that you're willing to come on the show. I'm so glad to get to know you. One of these days, we got to sit down in person and chat.
Amen. I would love to do that.
Brian, you are in my prayers. Please keep me in your prayers, too, because we're out there. As you said, we're fighting a battle, and we are all called to bring Jesus to those around us. And sometimes it's challenging, right, brother?
It is challenging, and I'm glad that we can be there for each other.
All right. Brian Mercier, thanks again, my friend. Check him out online, CatholicBrian.org, BRYAN. When we come back, Mary Lou Rosine, the joy-filled broken heart.
A quote from Servant of God Dorothy Day. By practicing the way of mercy, by denouncing the powers that oppress, we work for a society in which it is easier to do good, easier to choose life, easier to make room for children, and not to do away with them.
Thank you.
more enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. The time right now is 7:33. That was Love and the Outcome with the God I Know. Joy. Can I have joy in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of suffering? Many people will say no way. And in fact, that's the message that the world gives us. We are joined now by author and speaker Mary Lou Rosine. She is the author of the book, The Joy-Filled Broken Heart. Mary Lou, welcome to the program. I can't wait to explore this topic with you. How are you today?
Hi, Gary. It's so good to be with you. Happy one-year anniversary. And
oh, thank you.
I was just telling Dave I have a little bit of a cold, so I sound a little manly today. So please forgive me for the sound in my voice.
I can't even tell, and Mary Lou, I'm in a hotel room in Fargo, North Dakota, so, and it's an hour earlier, so I'm a little foggy, it's a little quiet here, so between the two of us, we're going to try our best, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right. Obviously, this is a great topic. How can I have joy in the midst of suffering? This book, The Joy-Filled Broken Heart, I like the book a lot. I like it so much that I wrote the foreword to this book.
Yes, you did, and thank you so much for that.
You know, Mary Lou, that's a question we get all the time. How can you be joyful in the midst of suffering? Is it possible?
It is absolutely possible to be joy-filled in the midst of suffering, but I think the first thing we need to do is focus on the difference between joy and happiness. See, right. the world gets wrapped up in happiness. I know you speak right. about these things a lot when you go out and do your ministry, but the world gets really trapped in happiness and wanting to feel emotion all the time. And joy is more of a decision. It's more of a conscious choice. And if you look at Scripture, the word that's often interchanged with joy is Christian hope. So I think that makes a big difference when you're focusing on hope as opposed to emotion.
Aside from the fact that this is a powerful message that the world needs to hear, is this something you have struggled with personally throughout your life?
Absolutely. I mean, I've gone through some tough trials, as everybody has. You know, I talk to people all the time, and you don't meet anybody who hasn't been through a tough situation. I went through some very serious losses, especially early in my life. My younger brother committed suicide. I had a marriage that failed. Really difficult things. But when people would talk to me years after, they would say, "You're so joyful. I remember I ran into a lady in a parking lot, which was one of the biggest reasons I wrote the book. She said, "I know your life hasn't been easy. Why are you so joy-filled?" And I thought, you know, that's a really good question. And so I started studying people that got kind of stuck in grief and people that moved on, like my own mother, who's a very joy-filled person, even after losing her son to suicide. Very, very, you know, beautiful, mantilla-wearing, little 5-foot-nothing lady. She's absolutely adorable. And she's always filled with joy. And so I looked at the people who successfully found joy in the midst of suffering and started studying them and tried to find the common threads.
And what are some of those common threads?
Well, the first one, as we mentioned a little while ago, is they focus on decisions. They don't, and facts. They don't focus on feelings. Feelings are not facts. And people get stuck there so often. They think, "I feel this way." There's even a trend right now where people will say, they were talking about this the other night, "I feel like there should be walnuts in this cookie." And no, you don't. You think there should be walnuts in this cookie, you know?
So wow, there's
so much of a confusion out there in the world about what you think and what you feel. Your feelings are not facts. So to move past that, the other thing, one of the most powerful lines in Scripture is the line where Jesus finds out that Lazarus is dead. And I love it. It's the shortest verse in Scripture in the New Testament. And it says, Jesus wept. Jesus took the time out. I mean, think about that for a second. He knows that he's going to rise Lazarus from the dead in just a few minutes, right? He's going to walk there. He's going to be greeted by his friends. And he's going to call him into new life out of the tomb. And yet he took that moment to weep. So I think experiencing grief, allowing yourself to walk through that sad part and then move on to a different place is really pivotal in getting past suffering and moving on to joy. You know, you have to have hope and trust, but still understand that pain is pain and not get caught in the pain. Just kind of recognize it for what it is. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and you just said a lot there, and I'm trying to digest everything that you said, but that's so powerful, because getting back to the feelings issue, there are times, and we were talking about this with Brian Mercier, my first guest, there are times when it doesn't feel like God's present. There are times when it doesn't feel like he loves me. There are times when I just don't feel like he's going to care about my problems. But when we look at the facts, when we look at the fact that Jesus did weep, Jesus has a human heart, Jesus is able to feel compassion, when we look at the fact that Jesus died on a cross for me, I mean, that totally blows away the argument that he doesn't love me. But when we look at arguments for the existence of God, ultimately, there is more evidence to prove that he does exist than there is to prove that he doesn't exist. It doesn't really matter how we feel. As you say, that doesn't change reality. So when we stick with the facts during those times of suffering and struggle, our outlook begins to change.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Jesus wasn't feeling it in the Garden of Gethsemane, was he? He asked for the cup to be taken away if possible, but then ultimately followed God's will. And I think we have to get there, too, where we say, "This suffering, it hurts, Lord, but I'm going to offer it to you just the way Jesus did, because it's going to bring about some bigger catharsis, some bigger change, some bigger joy." You know, there's a saying that one of my friends told me the day that my brother died, the day I found out, my best friend came over to sit with me till I could get a plane home. And she said, there's a saying that the deeper that sorrow carves itself into your heart, the greater capacity you have for joy. And I have clung to that in the deepest moments and found it always to be true. Always. You know, at the time, you feel like you're being scooped out like a pumpkin, right? It's Halloween time.
Yeah.
You're being scooped out. And then the Lord rushes in to fill that hollow spot and just fill you up with himself. And then you feel joy, and it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, Mary Lou, in the book, you address the topic of sin. And I think that in a book called The Joy-Filled Broken Heart, talking about sin, I mean, obviously, the question that comes to mind is, when you talk about that, doesn't that blame the victim?
Yeah, it sounds like it would. It's a delicate subject, right? But
yeah.
I actually, last night I was watching a show about Fatima, and I was listening to the stories of the children at Fatima. Our Lady wasn't afraid to talk about sin. She wasn't afraid to move them past it. And what happens is, Gary, we get caught in this cycle where we're wounded, we're angry, we're hurt, we're suffering. Then we wound, we hurt. You know, what do they say? Hurt people, hurt people. And we get caught in that cycle. And the best way, I mean, the Catholic Church is such a gift. Our faith is such a gift. We have an avenue to just rush into that confessional and lay it all out and just dump it all at the feet of the Lord. Be forgiven, break that cycle, and move on to joy, because we create our own suffering a lot of times. And so it sounds like I'm blaming the victim, but it's really, it's like saying you're blaming someone for getting cancer and going to a hospital. You know, we get caught in that suffering, and the hospital is the confessional. It's the church. It's Christ's mercy, you know, and that just is endless. It just envelops us and heals us and lets us move on to a better place.
You talk about creating suffering, and this is something I want to talk about, if we could, briefly. There are times when we're going through suffering, and we can tend to become martyrs and think, well, Lord wants me to suffer. He wants me to suffer, and I can offer it up, which is a really good thing. He wants us to offer it up. Is it okay to say, Lord, take this suffering away from me?
Absolutely. Again, just the way Christ did in the garden.
Right,
but it
right.
doesn't mean that that's going to be God's choice right now. And I think, so we have to offer it up and say, you know, use this for your holy will. We have to ultimately get to that place. But of course to say, you know, just the same way you would take this morning with this cold, I got up, I couldn't speak when I first woke up, so I took some Advil. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking some Advil for a sore throat. There's nothing wrong with asking God to take the suffering away. And if it's his will for that moment for you, I absolutely believe that he can do that. But another thing I want to focus on just a little, Gary, is another saying that I heard once a long time ago that really changed my mind about the way we look at suffering. And someone said to me, when I was, you know, in a dark place and complaining way too much, they said, you know, complaining is another way about bragging about how much you can endure.
Wow.
And I think it's so easy for us to fall in, especially the way the world treats suffering.
Right.
It's so easy to kind of get into that, you know, oh, my life is terrible, oh, this is happening to me, and getting stuck there instead of kind of stopping and going, whoa, do I need to reframe this and look at it a little bit differently? Is somebody suffering worse than I am? Is there somebody else that I can reach out to in my own suffering? And, you know, maybe I've walked through a really painful part and gotten through it. Can I help somebody else walk through that same valley? So there's lots of different ways to look at suffering without getting stuck there. But God's will is ultimately what we're seeking. And if he desires to take away our suffering in this moment, you know, absolutely ask for it. Ask for it and be that widow knocking on the door. You know, be the person asking for the loaf of bread. Go ahead and ask.
Yeah, and because I think sometimes, and the reason I bring this up, I have known people who have said, I feel guilty when I ask the Lord to take away my suffering or to heal me of my physical ailment because I want to offer it up. And I say, no, imitate Jesus. Go ahead. Ask him to take it away. If he wants you to endure it, he's not going to take it away. And then that's the point where you offer it up.
Absolutely. That's it. That's the whole idea right there.
And it's the same thing with confession. As you said, we are oftentimes carrying around these heavy burdens when we have the ability to go to the Lord in the sacrament of confession and give them to him and be able to experience that forgiveness that he wants us to give. I mean, you're right. We just create our own suffering sometimes.
We do. We get caught in that cycle. And you know, one of the things, our bishop, I was at a mass with our bishop, and he said this beautiful thing right around Easter time. He said, don't let the shouts of Alleluia draw you away from the need for repentance, because this is why Jesus came. You know, and I thought that was such a powerful statement. It's, we want to shout hallelujah all the time, but sometimes the path to hallelujah is to first repent and then turn back to the Lord. But I also want to give people, you know, hope, because that's why I wrote the book. And you know, to hope and trust in the Lord's plan, control the things you can, pray in all things, you know, just turn it over to Him, give it to Him, give Him your suffering, tell Him you don't understand. You know, I like to get on my elliptical sometimes when I'm really upset about a pain in my own life and kind of shout at the Lord. He's big enough to take it. You know, say, I don't understand why this is happening right now, you know, and just kind of give it back to Him and shout it all out of my system. And then, you know, when I'm physically and emotionally exhausted, I find peace. So it's not a bad thing to do that, you know?
Mary Lou, I can relate to that so much, but that's what He wants from us. He wants that personal, intimate relationship, and that's all part of it. So my spiritual director told me many times in the past, if you have a problem with God, tell Him. He can take it. He wants that conversation. Mary Lou, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us on the program. The book is The Joy-Filled Broken Heart. If somebody wants to find out more about that book, maybe pick up a copy, or possibly find out about your work or bring you out to speak, where is the best place to go online?
The best place is just to check out my website, because everything's linked there. It's CatholicFamilyBootCamp.com. So CatholicFamilyBootCamp.com. You'll find all the books I've written there, information about contacting me, speakers, information, all that.
All right, Mary Lou, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to talk to you. God bless you. Mary Lou Rosin, The Joy-Filled Broken Heart. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible Verse.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Wants a good prescription for an awesome start to your day? A strong cup of coffee, Gary Zimak, and Spirit in the Morning.
How great!
Wow. Carrie Underwood, along with Vince Gill, a live version of How Great Thou Art. That song blows me away every time I play it. Welcome to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. The time right now is 7:52. So glad to have you with us on this Monday morning. Let's take a look at our Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. It comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. The words of the Lord, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Dave Parker, the fact that the Lord calls me by name, he knows me, makes me feel really good.
Yes.
You agree?
Isn't that
good to know that he knows us by name, and he calls us each day?
Yeah. Brings to mind, like, he knows so much about him, he counts every hair on our head, right?
In my case, that doesn't take too long. It's gotten easier for him over the years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. But seriously, I mean, he knows every molecule, every atom of our being.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
He does. And he knows
every
when
word.
We're suffering.
Everything.
Yeah, and to me, that's a good thing to know that he cares that much.
Yes.
And when you're down, he's concerned about you, and he wants to help you. So turn to him today and ask for his help. Dave, you know, and Frank, what's pretty interesting, Mary Lou Rosine actually was substituting today. Danielle Bean typically does this segment. She is overseas and couldn't do it. Mary Lou, she's somebody I know, and I asked her to fill in. She talked about this redemptive suffering theme. And we had Dan Burke talking about it on Friday, and Brian Mercier is talking about how we go through life even when we're not feeling it. I think the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something here.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, Gare. And, well, hey, nothing, I mean, the Holy Spirit brought her on, you know, I mean, because
I agree.
Danielle couldn't
I believe
make it,
that.
So Mary Lou came on. Hey, great segment. I loved it. I love that. So.
I think and I heard from a friend of mine who was listening especially to Brian's segment and to the second segment. He said, I needed this today. He texted me today, and he said, thank you. Typically, I'm listening to, I flip back and forth between sports talk and you guys. So today, for some reason, we won over, and he said, I needed to hear that message because I'm really struggling today.
Absolutely. Yeah. It just blew me away because I thought the same thing about, you know, Dan Burke and his suffering we had him on Friday in the second segment, interview segment. And, wow. So maybe we're just on a roll, and maybe the Spirit is putting it on us to get the word out about redemptive suffering to our listeners and followers. So I can say maybe there's a great need for it. There's a lot of suffering in the world.
There is. And the message of the world is if you want to be at peace, you got to get rid of all your problems. Well, we all know that's not going to happen. So there is a way to experience peace even in the midst of suffering. Unbelievable that, you know, I'm leading this parish mission on overcoming anxiety. And yesterday we had that reading from St. Paul, his letter to the Philippians, when he said very specifically, have no anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, let the Lord know what you need, and His peace will fill your heart. It's the answer right there.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do.
Yes.
No, the prayer is important. So even when we don't feel like it, if you're listening today and you say, you know what, these guys, they're full of it, I don't want to hear this, I don't feel like praying, do it anyway.
Well,
the Lord a chance to work.
These guys, you sound like you're from Jersey or something.
That's
From the East.
That's
anyway,
right.
I would say, Mary Lou, if you're listening to us, I mean, that was a great piece. And just keep up the great work. You know, and I want to go look up your book and maybe get your book. I was so moved by that. You know, so I mean, we all can take something out of that, Gare, right?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's why I love the guests on the program, because I am asking questions that they're coming from. Most of these questions are coming from me. These are things that I want to know because I'm trying to grow through these guests on the program. I'm trying to grow closer to the Lord. And I'll tell you, the Lord has brought us many people. I don't know what the total is if we totaled up all of our guests over the past year. A lot of different guests. Sometimes we do two a show. Sometimes we do three a show. We just never know. But I mean, hundreds of people.
Yes. And again, it's the Holy Spirit working through us. You know, I do believe. I know it in my heart and my soul. And hey, Gare, just a quick. Frank had to run out, so I'm here. So I didn't want you to. Hey, Frank, you know, well, no, Frank's not here right now. So something came up, and he had to leave the station. I mean, nothing bad.
Okay.
So just FYI,
Well, and, thank you.
All right.
Hey, Dave, I saw a picture of you over the weekend with some of your furry friends.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was That's a great shot. Yeah.
For a segue from our animal piece, right?
Yeah, we're back to it again.
Yeah, well, at St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, my parish, they had the blessing of the animals because, if you recall, was it last Tuesday or the beginning of last week? Was the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and we all
yes.
know, he's the patron saint of the environment, of animals, of all, that all God's creation. And so we took Jackson, who we've had for about 2 years in November, come November, and our new furry animal member of the family, Jeter. So we did. So that was the picture with Deacon Mace Mazzoni, who annually does the blessing, and it was fun. It's always fun. Many people bring their critters. dogs, cats. Mm. 1 year, I think there was even an iguana. I don't know, or a snake.
Wow.
But it's so beautiful, and it's one can look it up. The prayer for the blessing of the animals. So
again,
it was fun, and you get to see your fellow parishioners who also love animals.
Yeah. So everybody brings their animals. The animals get blessed, and it's always an adventure.
Yes, it is.
Because you never know how the animals will behave, but it all seems to work out.
Yeah.
I don't know of any churches. I do know of one church that would actually do it indoors. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that, and most of them do it outdoors for obvious reasons.
Let me think about that. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Gare.
Okay. No, I really enjoyed seeing the picture of you and your wife Barbara on Facebook with your two little family members, furry family members. It was a neat picture. Mm-hmm. Dave, coming up on the show this week, tomorrow we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University. Mm-hmm. He'll continue our discussion on Abraham. Also, Megan Coakley will be here, the Director of New Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Awesome.
Tony Agnese stops by on Wednesday.
More awesome.
And also on Wednesday, Father Mark Mary will be here from EWTN. So we've got lots of good things coming up. Thank you for listening. Wherever you go today, whatever you do, remember, the Lord's with you. Turn around and say hi. This is Gary Zimak on behalf of Dave Parker. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.
Ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.